Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production. Available on Apple Podcasts and Podcast One.
Directed by Gino McDermott, Killer Inside is a three-part documentary series exploring the rise and fall of Aaron Hernandez, a promising athlete who seemingly had it all until he was convicted of murder.
Hello, this is a prepaid collect call from
Aaron.
To accept charges, press 1. To refuse charges, press... Thank you. You may start the conversation now.
Hey, you know what's crazy? I've been testing you for about 12, 15 years. I'll just tell you one thing and tell you not to tell anyone, and it always gets back to me. There's so many things I like. I would love to talk to you so you could know me as a person, but I never could tell you. And you're going to die without even knowing your son. That's the craziest thing about it.
My whole body's shaking right now.
I was the happiest fucking little kid in the world, and you fucked me up. What the fuck do you think I was going to do? Become a perfect angel?
The person you called has hung up.
Hearing that one phone call, I'm hooked and horrified. Watch the new Netflix limited series, Killer Inside, The Mind of Aaron Hernandez, on January 15th. This episode contains descriptions of violence. Use your best judgment. In 1997, Peggy Beckler and her husband Eric had been married for 5 years. To celebrate, they took a vacation to Newport Beach in California. Peggy had been a champion swimmer when she was younger, and at 37, she was still athletic. The couple rented a speedboat and planned to do some boogie boarding, but it didn't quite turn out as they had planned. On July 6, 1997, the couple's rental boat was discovered empty, moving in circles in the water. Eric Beckler was spotted floating in his life jacket, drifting nearby. The Coast Guard was alerted immediately.
Coast Guard Rescue 6584, Blue Blom Beach, two persons in the water, one of them we have visual on.
The Coast Guard couldn't see Peggy anywhere. No one could. Peggy Beckler was never seen again. From A&E, this is Cold Case Files. The Orange County Sheriff's Office was notified about Peggy's disappearance, and Deputy Gary Goff was the first to arrive at the scene.
When we arrived on scene, we saw the Good Samaritan boat standing by, and there was a person in the water later identified as Eric Beckler.
Deputy Goff took his patrol boat to where Eric was floating in the water and pulled him on board. He had a few questions for Eric and was trying to understand how the current situation came to be.
He told us that he was boogie boarding behind a boat being driven by his wife, and they had hit a wave or a wake. He got knocked off the boogie board, and when he came to the surface of the water, he looked into the distance and saw the boat going around in circles, and he didn't see his wife again.
The Coast Guard began its search for Peggy at once.
Yeah, this is the area that we think she fell off. The boat has drifted down there. There's no one aboard that boat.
Deputy Goff felt like Eric Beckler was acting strange during the search.
No, he wasn't actively helping us search. He would keep his attention focused inside of the boat. He would look outside of the boat when we went over and investigated some potential sighting. At one point toward the end of the search, he actually closed his eyes and appeared to be going to sleep.
People react to traumatic events in a lot of different ways. While Eric's behaviors could have been interpreted as disinterest or lack of concern, they could have also been signs of shock. The search for Peggy continued for 5 hours until the sunset. The boats, including the one with Eric, headed to the shore where the media was waiting for an update. Deputy Goff made another observation about Eric's behavior.
Eric began blubbering again, and he needed our assistance to actually physically help him up the ramp. Until we got inside of our office, and when no media was present, he quit blubbering, he didn't need our assistance, and he walked just fine.
3 days after Eric had been pulled from the water, Agent Danny Motley from the Coast Guard's Investigative Service took his official statement.
It's just the same thing. I'm trying to get my ID. He got hit by something like a freak wave or a wave that was out of pattern from the similar direction that all the other waves were coming from that knocked him off the boogie board forward.
I did a search about Newport Beach just to see if it was possible for a wave with that kind of force to be in that location. It is, but Agent Motley found another aspect of Eric's statement troubling. Agent Motley had reviewed the evidence before taking Eric's statement and noticed there was a pair of sunglasses neatly folded and resting on one of the seats in the boat.
That was odd because if a wave would have hit the boat with enough to cause somebody to fall over the side, then the sunglasses shouldn't have been sitting in the same spot on the seat that they were where Mr. Beckler claimed that he left them. They would have probably been on the deck and been bounced around on the inside of the boat.
Is it possible the sunglasses could have stayed in place during a big wave? I don't know. And neither did Agent Motley. So he decided to test his theory. On two separate occasions, the investigators rented the same speedboat as the Becklers and tried to recreate the accident. With identical weather and sea conditions, they located the coordinates where Peggy Beckler had disappeared.
We did the circles, and then we changed the speeds, and we tried to do figure eights and zigzags, and we held on, and we didn't hold on, and we did everything that I could think of to try to get us ejected from the boat, and we didn't get ejected from the boat.
The investigators even asked a female deputy of comparable size to Peggy Beckler to help them with their experiment, but they were unable to create a scenario where she was knocked into the water. Deputy Goff was not surprised by the results.
The results confirmed for me exactly what I had suspected all along. It wouldn't have happened the way Eric described it.
The Coast Guard wasn't sure how Peggy had disappeared, but they were certain that it couldn't have happened the way Eric had described. They decided to turn the case over to the Homicide Squad for Orange County, California. Detective Roger Neumeister became the lead in the investigation.
Well, there's actually kind of three roads. There's accident as a possibility. There's that this is some sort of fraud, some sort of scam, that she's gone waiting on the beach in Costa Rica or something, waiting for the insurance money to come in. And then there's the homicide or the murder possibility.
The detective started his task of determining whether Peggy's disappearance was an accident, fraud, or murder by speaking with her family. They were doubtful that someone with Peggy's swimming experience could have fallen out of a boat and drowned. This is Peggy's father, Glenn Marshall.
Absolutely, that doesn't sound right immediately. I mean, here's a kid that's been a top swimmer for years and years and so comfortable in the water.
Peggy's best friend, Glenda Mason, did not believe that Peggy could have drowned.
My first reaction was disbelief. I thought there's no way this could possibly have happened. Peggy was somebody who was an incredible swimmer, incredible triathlete. I've always said, you know, she could have swum to shore with one arm.
Glenda also shared some information about Peggy and Eric Beckler's marriage.
They were constantly fighting. Peggy was concerned that he was having an affair. The last 6 months, I mean, Peggy called me crying, you know, almost weekly. She was very unhappy in the end.
An unhappy marriage could have been a motive for murder, so the investigators looked further into the relationship between Eric and Peggy. They started with their finances and found another possible motive.
We had done insurance together, Peggy and Eric and I. I had written policies for them. There were three policies, one for $100,000, one for $500,000, and one for $2 million. And Eric was the primary beneficiary on part of the policies. The children were primary beneficiaries on part of the policies.
That was Larry Marshall, Peggy's brother, and also an insurance agent. There was a total of $2.6 million in life insurance on Peggy that would go to Eric if she were to die. The investigators believed that amount of money would be a plausible motive for murder. But without a body, they couldn't be positive that a murder had even been committed. This is Detective Neumeister again.
You don't have a cause of death. You don't have, you know, the body itself to say that the person's dead. So it does create a lot of problems.
Without a body, the case went cold. But Detective Neumeister believed that it would eventually be solved.
The early stage in the case, I said, there's going to be a woman that comes forward and breaks this case for us. A scorned woman is going to break this case.
Let's face it, New Year's resolutions don't always stick, especially the ones that focus on health, because those are the ones that require the most work. Like last year, I convinced myself that I was going to get up early and make a healthy breakfast. It failed pretty quickly when I learned I like sleeping in better than breakfast. But Daily Harvest makes it easy to eat well. They deliver thoughtfully sourced, chef-crafted food right to my door, and everything can be prepared in 5 minutes or less. Go to dailyharvest.com and enter promo code COLDCASE to get $25 off your first box. Daily Harvest is something that you can enjoy year-round as a quick solution to get the fruits and vegetables you need every day. Daily Harvest works directly with farmers to harvest organic fruits and vegetables at their peak and freezes them within 24 hours to lock in their nutrients. Everything stays fresh until you're ready to enjoy it. Choose from more than 65 different options like smoothies, hearty soups, harvest bowls, and overnight oats. Each recipe takes one step to prepare with room to make them your own. Add your favorite milk to blend up a smoothie or heat up a harvest bowl and top it with avocado or a fried egg. I love the strawberry and peach smoothie. I just add some almond milk, put it in the blender, and I'm ready to go without having to sacrifice my sleep. Whether you're at home, at your desk, or on the go, Daily Harvest is the easiest way to have a delicious and nutritious meal or snack. Go to dailyharvest.com and enter promo code COLDCASE to get $25 off your first box. That's promo code COLDCASE for $25 off your first box at dailyharvest.com. Dailyharvest.com. Hi, everyone. If you go to the episode description, you can check out our sponsor deals. Our sponsors make it possible for you to download Cold Case files each week for free. So check out the promo code deals. You might just find something you like, something you need, or a great gift for your friends and family. A year after Peggy Beckler had gone missing at sea, Cold Case Detective Sean Murphy was on the case.
We were convinced that Eric had murdered his wife, Peggy. But as far as the evidence was concerned, it was all circumstantial, and we had no body, so those are the most difficult cases to prove.
Eric met Tina New 3 months after Peggy had disappeared. Tina was a model and an actress. The couple had been instantly attracted to each other, but their relationship was unstable.
It was a very volatile relationship. They were abusing drugs and domestic violence incidences. It was just very volatile.
The detectives hoped that eventually Tina would leave the relationship and come to them with Eric's secrets. And a year later, in October of 1999, she did just that. Tina and Eric shared an apartment in the Beach Creek community. The couple had loud arguments regularly. But during one particularly bad night, the neighbors called the police around 3 a.m. When the police arrived, Tina was alone in the apartment. She told the officers that she and Eric had been fighting over a broken breast implant.
My implant was a size, normally I was a D, and I was a size A on one side, and it just terrified me. I had been leaking, I guess, for 24 hours. And I called him panicking, and I screamed and said, Eric, you need to take me to the hospital. And I needed to go. I was terrified.
Before the police took her to the hospital, Tina asked to speak to the investigators in charge of Peggy's disappearance.
And it wasn't like I was mad at Eric. It wasn't like I was trying to get back at him to tell his secret. I just couldn't handle it anymore. I knew he killed her, and I couldn't functionally live my life to protect him knowing that he did that.
Detective Sean Murphy took Tina's statement.
She basically told us, I know Eric murdered his wife. You know, I've talked to him about it. And we'd say, what kind of conversations did you have with him about it? And she would say, well, one night we were laying in bed after partying in Los Angeles, and I asked him about how he had done it.
Tina talked to the detectives for 3 hours in the living room of her apartment, sharing what she knew about Eric Beckler and Peggy's disappearance.
And he goes, as soon as she started to lay out on the boat, she was tanning. He goes, Tina, I walked up behind her and I hit her so hard she didn't feel a thing. And I'm like,
you know, I'm like trying to act like this is okay for me to handle because I'm laying on a bed next to him, you know, right next to him while he's telling me he killed his wife.
Tina was frightened, but continued to ask for details about how and why Eric had killed his wife.
He goes, I folded her torso down towards her legs, and he tied all that together. And he goes, and I took two trash bags, I covered her up, and I dropped her down with weights.
The cold case detectives had been waiting for a break like this. But even with the information Tina provided, they needed evidence to corroborate her statement. This is Detective Gary Jones.
We could not file a case just based on her information alone. We needed to corroborate it from him. And I don't mean by her going in there and saying, you killed your wife and this is how you killed her. We needed him to tell us how he killed her, why he killed her.
Detective Sean Murphy asked Tina if she'd be willing to help out the investigation further.
And that's when we told her, you know, you need to take the next step here and help us with making some phone calls.
Tina agreed to call Eric to see if she could get him to make a confession on the phone. Her phone was tapped within an hour, and she made this call to Eric.
Eric, I think you need to be worried. Look.
I already know. Don't
just stop. Stop being so naive. You know, I know you're sticking to your story, but think about what happened. Think about whatever evidence they have from before with Peggy. You don't know.
Talk about that over the phone.
Why?
Because talk about that over the phone.
Talk about what over the phone?
What you're alluding to.
You have a cell phone, Eric.
Yeah, I know, but you don't.
Don't be dumb. Stop playing dumb. I hate it when you do this. You and your lawyer. Does your lawyer know? Whatever. Because we're not going to talk about it on the phone. Does your lawyer know the truth or not? Whatever the truth is. Does he know?
No.
You sure?
Yes.
Okay, well, maybe you should tell your lawyer the truth because you need someone to know.
We stop.
No, we're not going to stop. Do you understand how serious this is? And I don't want to be in the middle of it.
Eric wouldn't talk about Peggy's disappearance over the phone, which made Detective Jones even more suspicious.
He makes statements to her, let's don't discuss this on the phone. I'm not saying nothing on the phone. And then he even says, you know, the police can wiretap your phone. It's very easy to wiretap your phone. So now these are all, if a person is truly innocent of any crime, I mean, that should be the furthest thing in the back of your mind is to talk on the phone. If you're not talking anything criminal, why would you be concerned about a wiretap on the phone?
Realizing that the phone tap wasn't going to get them the confession they needed, the detectives asked Tina to wear a wire. She and Eric went to dinner at a restaurant where two undercover officers were eating nearby. Tina was comforted that she would not be alone.
And the cops told me that there was going to be a first team in the restaurant. It could be your waiter. It could be somebody else. So I didn't know where they were. I never saw them the whole night, but I knew they were there.
Tina didn't waste time after they were seated before asking Eric about Peggy.
She said, well, what insurance is that you won't ever do that to me? And he tells her, I will never, ever, ever hurt anybody ever again.
You know, we were all happy about that statement. We thought that was great. He didn't deny that he did something to his wife, and at the same time, he said that he'd hurt someone.
Detective Jones and Murphy believed they finally had enough evidence to arrest and charge Eric Beckler. Later on the same evening, Eric Beckler was arrested and charged with murder. At around midnight, he was interviewed by Detectives Murphy and Jones at the Sheriff's Department.
You have the right to remain silent. Do you understand that, Eric?
Yes.
Can we talk about what happened?
About what?
About the other night being over Tina's house?
I can be better if the attorney was here.
Okay. Is it you? What is it you're saying?
That I'm not going to say anything until my attorney's present.
Okay.
Eric thought he was being arrested for the disturbance at Tina's house, until Detective Murphy informed him of the additional charge, murder.
You understand you're under arrest, Eric, and you're under arrest for the homicide of your wife, Peggy Butler. Beckler.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I'm glad.
I'm sorry, but glad?
Yeah, because I'm innocent. I'll get this out cleared out of the way.
Cool.
That's right.
What's right?
I get this cleared out of the way.
Well, that's the whole idea, isn't it?
Yeah.
If you're innocent, you may be on your way. But if you're not, you gotta face your problems.
Eric Beckler maintained his innocence throughout his trial. His attorney, John Barnett, emphasized the lack of a body in his closing argument.
I think he's factually innocent because I don't think there was a crime. There's no evidence there was a crime. There's no evidence that foul play contributed to the death in this case.
It was the wiretaps that were collected by Tina New that ultimately swung the jury. On February 1st, 2001, the jury found Eric Beckler guilty of murder in the first degree and sentenced him to life without parole. Eric Beckler is now 52 years old and serving out a sentence in a California state prison. Peggy and Eric's children were raised by Peggy's family. Her life insurance money was put into a trust for them. Eric didn't get a dime. Cold Case Files, the podcast, is hosted by Brooke Giddings, produced by McKamey Lynn and Steve Dalamater. Our associate producer is Julie Magruder. Our executive producer is Ted Butler. Our music was created by Blake Maples. This podcast is distributed by Podcast One. The Cold Case Files TV series was produced by Curtis Productions and is hosted by Bill Curtis. You can find me at Brooke Giddings on Twitter and at Brooke the Podcaster on Instagram. I'm also active in the Facebook group Podcast for Justice. Check out more Cold Case Files at aetv.com or learn more about cases like this one by visiting the A&E Real Crime blog at aetv.com/realcrime. Directed by Gino McDermott, Killer Inside is a three-part documentary series exploring the rise and fall of Aaron Hernandez, a promising athlete who seemingly had it all until he was convicted of murder.
Hello, this is a prepaid collect call from
Aaron.
To accept charges, press 1. To refuse charges, press... Thank you. You may start the conversation now.
Hey, you know what's crazy? I've been testing you for about 12, 15 years. I'll just tell you one thing and tell you not to tell anyone. It always gets back to me. There's so many things I like. I would love to talk to you so you could know me as a person, but I never could tell you. And you're going to die without even knowing your son. That's the craziest thing about it.
My whole body's shaking right now.
I was the happiest fucking little kid in the world, and you fucked me up. What the fuck did you think I was going to do? Become a perfect angel?
The person you called has hung up.
Hearing that one phone call, I'm hooked and horrified. Watch the new Netflix limited series, Killer Inside, The Mind of Aaron Hernandez, on January 15th.